Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Proud Tower, A Portrait of the World Before the War, OT 1990-1914 by Barbara W. Tuchman is a panoramic work of narrative history that examines the decades of apparent confidence and progress leading up to the First World War. Rather than treating 1914 as a sudden rupture, Tuchman traces the political, social, and cultural forces that shaped Europe and the United States during the fin de siècle and early 20th century. Through vivid scenes and sharply drawn public figures, the book explores how empires managed instability, how mass politics and labor movements challenged established orders, and how new ideas in journalism, diplomacy, and social reform reshaped public life. Tuchman highlights a world that felt modern and energetic while simultaneously carrying deep structural tensions. The result is an accessible, character-driven introduction to the pre-war era, showing how optimism, rivalry, and miscalculation coexisted in a period that still believed it could master history. Right up until it could not. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, high politics and the performance of power in late imperial Europe. A central theme of the book is how governments and elites projected strength while navigating insecurity. The period from 1890 to 1914 was marked by imperial competition, alliance making, and a diplomatic culture that often prized prestige, secrecy, and personal authority. Tuchman portrays ruling circles that appeared self-assured, yet were frequently boxed in by their own assumptions, court politics, and the need to satisfy national pride. Parliamentary systems, monarchies, and emerging mass parties created different pressures, but many leaders shared a belief that power could be managed through calculation and display. Military planning and naval rivalry intensified this mentality, turning policy debates into contests over credibility and deterrence. Tuchman also emphasizes how decisions were shaped not only by grand strategy but by temperament, social networks, and the rhythms of elite life. The reader sees a world where the architecture of state power was impressive, yet its foundations were brittle. This topic helps explain why diplomacy could become reactive, why compromise could seem like weakness, and why escalation became more thinkable over time, even as many leaders believed they were preserving stability. Secondly, mass movements, labor unrest, and the challenge to established order. Another major topic is the rise of organized labor and mass politics, which transformed public life and unsettled traditional hierarchies. Industrialization brought new concentrations of workers, new unions, and new political identities, while urban growth created audiences for rallies, newspapers, and party programs. Tuchman examines how strikes, socialist organizing, and demands for representation became recurring features of the era, forcing governments to balance repression, reform, and negotiation. These movements were not uniform across countries, and Tuchman highlights differences in political culture, policing, and the willingness of elites to share power. Yet the general pattern is one of widening participation and heightened social conflict. The book also shows how fear of revolution or disorder influenced policy choices, sometimes hardening attitudes and pushing states toward nationalist distractions or displays of force. This topic matters because it reveals a pre-war society that was not simply marching toward conflict for external reasons, but also wrestling with internal pressures that made compromise difficult. The tensions between capital and labor, order and reform, and privilege and citizenship became part of the background hum of the age. Thirdly, public opinion, journalism, and the new politics of scandal and persuasion, Tuchman gives significant attention to the expanding power of media and public opinion, showing how journalism and political communication altered the rules of governance. Newspapers, pamphlets, and public campaigns helped create a shared political arena in which reputations could be built or destroyed quickly. Investigative reporting and sensational coverage amplified scandals, exposed corruption, and pressured officials to respond in real time. The growth of literacy and mass circulation meant that political contests increasingly played out before broad audiences, not only in parliament or cabinet rooms. Tuchman portrays the press as both a democratizing force and a destabilizing one. It could energize reform, but it could also inflame nationalism, harden stereotypes, and reward dramatic posturing over careful policy. This shift also changed how leaders managed crises, because narratives, rumors, and headlines could become strategic constraints. The result is an early picture of modern information politics, where perception itself becomes a form of power. By mapping the interplay between media and government, Tuchman helps readers understand how the pre-war world became more emotionally charged, more polarized, and more susceptible to symbolic conflicts that escalated beyond their original causes. Fourthly, social reform and the limits of progress in a confident age. The book also explores the era's reform energies, from campaigns against poverty and exploitation to efforts aimed at public health, education, and governance. Many citizens and policymakers believe society could be improved through rational administration and moral commitment. Touchman depicts a world of committees, reformers, and new civic expectations, where the state's role in social life expanded and where voluntary organizations sought to correct injustices. Yet she underscores the limits of these efforts, especially when reform collided with entrenched interests, nationalist sentiment, or rigid class structures. Progress did not move evenly, and modernity brought new problems along with solutions, including urban crowding, harsh labor conditions, and anxieties about cultural change. This topic shows the double character of the period: genuine optimism and innovation alongside persistent inequality and resentment. By examining both achievements and failures, Touchman helps readers see why the pre-1914 world could feel like a peak of civilization while still carrying unresolved disputes that made it vulnerable. The reform impulse mattered, but it did not automatically translate into social cohesion. Instead, it often exposed how contested the meaning of justice, citizenship, and responsibility had become. Lastly, the gathering storm rivalries, misjudgments, and the road to 1914, a final key topic is how multiple pressures converged to make the outbreak of war possible, even when many people assumed catastrophe could be avoided. Touchman portrays a landscape of competing empires, strategic anxieties, and military preparations that created momentum toward confrontation. Alliances were intended to deter conflict, but also widened any local crisis into a broader test of resolve. Nationalism and honor politics made backing down politically risky, while mobilization plans encouraged speed over reflection. At the same time, domestic unrest and ideological clashes added a sense that nations needed unity and purpose, sometimes found in external rivalry. Touchman's approach emphasizes contingency and human choice as much as structural forces, showing how leaders could misread signals, underestimate opponents, and overestimate their own capacity to control outcomes. The period's confidence in organization and technology could mask the fragility of peace. This topic is not merely about listing causes, but about understanding the atmosphere of decision-making, where pride, fear, and precedent shaped what seemed reasonable. By the end, the reader grasps how a highly civilized, interconnected world could drift into war through a chain of judgments that felt, to participants, both logical and unavoidable. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who want to understand the First World War by first understanding the society that produced it. Students, general history enthusiasts, and anyone interested in the origins of modern politics will find value in Touchman's character-driven approach, which turns large forces like nationalism, labor politics, media influence, and diplomatic rivalry into a readable narrative. The benefit to a reader's life is practical, as well as historical. The book sharpens your ability to see how confidence can coexist with fragility, how institutions can look stable while accumulating stress, and how public opinion and prestige can narrow the choices available to leaders. Those patterns recur in contemporary politics, making the pre-1914 era feel less distant than it should. Compared with similar books that focus narrowly on military plans or a single nation's path to war, The Proud Tower offers a broader portrait of the age, connecting domestic unrest, cultural change, and elite decision-making into one coherent panorama. It is worth buying because it functions as both a compelling standalone narrative and a powerful prelude to the war years, giving readers the context that makes later events more understandable and more human. If you would like to support Barbara W. Touchman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.